After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, and they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. You may be seated. Do you remember when? Do you remember the wedding in Cana? Jesus, Mary, and the disciples are all there. They must be enjoying themselves because the unthinkable happens. The wine runs out. Fearing for the reputation of the host, Mary tells Jesus, "They have no wine." It appears to be a simple statement, but Jesus knows a request from his mother when he hears it. He responds to her, "O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come." But despite his own protests, Jesus obeys his mother. He tells the servants to fill 6 stone jars used for purification with water. Amazingly, this hand-washing water, when brought to the steward of the feast, has become not just normal everyday wine, but the best wine of the feast. This, the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him. It all seems so long ago now. So much has happened since then to Jesus and his band of followers. Lives have been changed. Miracles have been performed. The Word of God has been not just preached, but seen in the flesh. But now the hour that Jesus spoke of so long ago is finally at hand. The one who changed water into wine now finds himself in need of a drink. The one who once said to a Samaritan woman, "Whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He now thirsts. And so this maker of fine wine, this spring of living water, is given simple, everyday table wine to wet his parched lips. That Jesus might thirst at such an hour is not surprising. He's most likely not taken a drink since the Passover meal he shared with his disciples. Since then, he's been beaten without mercy. He has been made to carry a large, heavy cross a considerable distance. He has lost so much blood and sweat that it's incredible that he is even able to keep his eyes open. He is dehydrated and weak. And yet it is not simply for water or wine that Jesus thirsts. He cries out not simply for himself, but rather for us. Jesus' thirst is our thirst. It is said that each one of us has a God-shaped hole in our souls. We are born with an innate longing, a spiritual thirst for union with God. This, after all, is why we were created in the first place. We were created to be in relationship with the Creator. However, like Adam and Eve before us, we have been separated from God by our sinful nature. No matter how hard people have tried, mankind could never bridge that gap created by human sin. And still our souls long for reunion with God. Our hearts thirst for a relationship with the Father. And now the Son thirsts for us. He knows that quenching this thirst comes at the ultimate price. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? Jesus asks James and John. Jesus knew that the wine of this cup would be bitter. He knew that he would suffer for the sake of those he loved. It is a hard pill to swallow. As he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asks, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Must this be the only way? Are there no other options left? Sadly, Jesus knows the answer to this question. And so he continues in his prayer, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Just as Jesus submitted to his mother in Cana, he now submits to the Father on Golgotha. As he accepts the cup of suffering, his blood poured out for us, it is now a sponge that passes before his lips. Thus is the scripture fulfilled that says, "They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Does this vinegar, this cheap wine of the masses, quench the thirst of our Savior? Alas, it does not. But thanks be to God, the blood which pours out of this man serves to quench the thirst of mankind. Jesus must thirst because the living water has gone out of him and into us. Jesus is thirsty so that we might wet our parched mouths on the water of his grace. Just as the Samaritan woman asked, so must we. "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." It is only Jesus who can give us this living water. Are you ready to drink from this cup? Are you ready to give your life for the one who gave his? Jesus did not die so that we might have a nice social club. Jesus did not die simply for good music or stately liturgy. These things are all wonderful, but they do not give meaning to his death. They do not justify his torture. They are not the bitter wine of crucifixion. Are you ready to drink from this cup? Jesus paid the price for us. He suffered so that we might live. There are no works we can perform, no deeds we can do, no efforts that we can make that will save us. And still, the ultimate sacrifice demands a response. The victory of Christ over death and the grave is meaningless if we do nothing with it. A gift cannot simply be given, it must also be received. Once it has been received, once we have taken this gift as our own, our lives cannot help but to be changed. We cannot live as an old creature, dead in our sin. Instead, we are renewed by the grace of God and His Holy Spirit. We die to sin and self, and we rise again to a life of service and praise to God. This is not a cup of worldly intoxication, but rather a cup of servanthood. To quench this thirst, we must first give up ourselves. To live, we too must die. I thirst, says the Lord. I thirst for those who do not know me. I thirst for those who chase after selfish ambition. I thirst for this world of violence and oppression. I thirst for my friends. I thirst for my enemies. I thirst for you. I am the living water. All who drink of this water will never thirst again. Brothers and sisters, the Lord calls us to be springs of living water. This living water will well up within us to eternal life. Jesus thirsts so that we might never again know the dryness of being separated from God. Let His love wet your lips and quench your thirst. Jesus, give me this water that I may never thirst again.